Welcome to the Spin Foil Theory Podcast with your host, The Bagels.
Hello.
And the Taylor B. Hello. Actually, you don't need the article for my name. Just Taylor B is fine. This is a if you haven't listened to us before, this is a podcast that's more of an advanced session where we go over sort of general sort of tinfoil or spin foil theories from Destiny the game. So because of that, the nature of it, we don't really do a lot of like explaining or teaching. We kind of expect you to have at least like an idea of what the subject matter is, but that doesn't mean we're not we don't want to be inclusive and try to help or at least like give you some direction on what you can listen to if like you're like, hey, that's a cool idea, but I didn't really understand what you're talking about. So I mean, you can contact us spinfoiltheory@gmail.com, at spinfoiltheory on Twitter. I am also on Twitter at this is Red Leader, LITRE, all one word. The bagels, where can people reach out to you if they have like bagel specific questions?
Currently, I am going to be joining the Focus Fire Chat Discord.
Oh yeah.
I signed up for it today, but I haven't done any registration or anything like that. I need to play around in there a little bit, but
Oh, all right, yeah, and I am on the Focus Fire Chat Discord as well, so we can see you guys there. So that's a good one. Bagels, I might have you pin some of the email responses just so you can have like a finger in the soups.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he's got his finger in the soups, you guys. It's all good. This week's topic is about a lot of people's favorite faction, not mine. But a lot of people's favorite faction, the New Monarchy. Are they communists? In the political sense, are they just trying to build one big communist state in the tower, in the last city, in really what, as far as we know, there might be some underground governments, but as far as we know, they're the last government in the world, in the last city. So the Bagels, do you think I should sort of take the reins with this one, given the background and explanation?
Absolutely, you're the expert on the subject.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you. Well, thank you. So the whole thing, as I pull up some stuff here. So the whole thing really branches on some of their tenets, core beliefs, and different things that they want to do, and sort of some of the parallels they have in real life. So, like the Bagels, like what are some of your like initial reactions when you hear New Monarchy? Like before we start diving into this, do you think it was sort of a like just another faction? Like they wanted to just get behind sort of like a classic sense of government? Like what would you think?
The old school reaction is that at least my original reaction when I first was introduced to New Monarchy is that they're a group of fascists. I mean, their main tenet
Ooh.
that everybody is introduced to is that they want to install a single character individual of unimpeachable character
Right.
and as the monarch to their system. And that's the one way you get introduced to them. Of course, digging into them, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But that's the one thing that you tend to pick up when you first are introduced to the monarchy,
Dude,
in my opinion, anyway.
that's a really good point. And doesn't it kind of like strike really odd that's their tenet when like if you think back to the city's government, like that's kind of what it was. Like the speaker kind of got to decide everything, and then like everyone else got to kind of vote if they went along with it, but the Vanguard still backed the speaker.
Yeah, it was kind of like a theocratic autocracy. It's kind of a funky,
Like a, like an
fun
like an OG parliament like doesn't really have a lot of power. Like not like actual parliament, but like that type of system. Yeah, sorry.
I got you.
Yeah. So yeah. And I'll just tell you guys the tenets of some of the tenets of the new monarchy right now. So they want to secure the walls of the last city. I'm not gonna quote verbatim because then we'd be here for minutes. But they want to secure the rights and liberties of everybody, so like everyone's gonna be taken care of. Like okay, and it doesn't really seem the last city doesn't, as far as we know, it doesn't really seem to be like an economic like strife situation. I don't think there's enough people for that. and like enough like diverse economy. It's all just kind of going. It's like a wartime economy. Like everyone's contributing and everything is important type of thing. That's at least my takeaway. So it doesn't really seem like there's a lot of like, oh man, you like you just you're just a baker. Like fuck you, I'm a banker. Like there's I don't who's banking? Like no one's banking. Like that's this is completely completely different. Or I guess unless you count like item banking, and then in which case that person's probably like rolling in glimmer. They want to sponsor sciences in the city, like and recover golden age tech, which is like, you know, I think like everyone wants to do that. They want to support guardian orders by leading the city in technological innovation. So this actually adds a second level of subservience that I didn't have coming into this. I didn't notice coming into this. So like they're not only beholden to whoever they appoint as the leader of humanity, and this seems like very humanity specific. Especially with this fourth tenet. Because they're kind of they want to like listen and just kind of obey. Like it's a very conformist type of thing, don't you think? At least like the way I'm explaining it.
I don't, that's not the way I would interpret that. It all seems to funnel into Tenet 7, which obviously we'll get to shortly, but my interpretation is that they want to support means that they want the Guardians to thrive still. That they want Guardian Orders to have success, but they still would be subservient to the supreme leader, for lack of a better term.
Oh, but I guess what I'm saying is like the leader would have to be someone who is willing to either in one way or another, and I'm not saying how they mean it by this presentation of the other, but they need to unite all, like the city needs to be, have all the Guardian Orders backing it, is how I read this tenet. Like they want the Praxic Fire, like they want everybody.
I guess I kind of read it a little bit backwards on that they want those orders to, again, it seems like it's more of a success thing, and or they want their I guess I struggle with this a little bit because I'm looking at the I'm still seeing it fall into the hands of ultimately one person. And so I'm looking at this, and eventually, if there aren't guardians that would fall in line with that leader, then they would go by the wayside or be eliminated by any means necessary. It's typically how single leader systems go.
I can
Just
dig
speaking
it.
from historical purposes.
I can dig it. So, if I'm hearing you right, are you saying it's more of a they'll become like a supplier to the Guardian Orders, like they'll become dependent on the city in this way, type of thing?
Correct. That would be my thought process.
I got you. Okay, I'm here to that then. I'm here for that. That I feel like that also fits into our later points though. Number five, they want to support the city and dissuade any group to disrupt the harmony in the city in any way. So basically, like, you fall in line. If you act up, they need to stop that. They need to, they're going to just actively dissuade you. You can take that as you will. I don't feel like any way you slice that sounds pleasant.
No. Again, we're talking about a single ruler, or that's typically a very, very bad sign if they are going to silence you by dissuasion by any means necessary.
So you're right, and I feel like speech becomes like an issue at that point, but that's just me. To hold all individuals, compacts, and allegiances to the highest standards of productivity and right behavior. That is some binding contractual language.
Yeah, I gotta love that right behavior.
Well, now, dude, like, I'm just saying, like, what if it's like one of those things where, like, when you take the pledge in the morning, like, you're actually like having like f like forming and reaffirming a contract with the government, and then when they come down and you're like, dude, you broke the contract. You put your hand over your heart. That's a binding contract, bro. Like, sorry, you're done now.
It's frightening. in any context you throw that type of sentence into,
Right.
it's frightening.
And
I don't
then
care what you're throwing that into.
to, by vote of the consensus, abolish the consensus and transfer ultimate power in order that the rights and liberties of all citizens be secured to a single sovereign of unimpeachable character. Now, the only argument I've seen that this is like, oh, that's not a scary statement, is that Zavala is someone that they have in mind, even though Zavala is like, no, and that's why he's the perfect person to say that's who you would want to pick if you could. Oh no, we'd want Zavala. Zavala's like, oh, I'm not gonna do that. I'm sorry.
And the issue is, even if Zavala were said unimpeachable power, I have concerns about even Zavala, because you think back to the Red War, and he made some questionable decisions during the Red War. Like, let's all go to Titan and get swarmed by the Hive. That
Yeah,
sort
like
of
Titan was a
decision.
weird choice.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to pick another planet that we could hide in really effectively. Let's go to this singular station on a moon. Like, they will never find us, you guys. We're just gonna.
it's stuff like that. And I can honestly appreciate Zavala's reluctance to not want that power, but at the same time, that being your sole reasoning for wanting Zavala as that ultimate power is not a very good logic, in my opinion.
No, I mean, like, I don't think it's. I think the fact that he says no is, or at least, like, by this example, the fact that he says, like, no is why he's the perfect example. Is because the person that they're saying, that, like, has, like, already a prominent place in here, that they're saying would be like, oh, well, this would be our ideal, is never going to do it. So then you can kind of pick who you want and say, like, no, they're just like
Oh,
Zavala.
sure, fair
And you can
enough.
like kind of control the public perception of your new candidate. But I'm sorry, that sort of takes me into the next part of the spin foil. So all those might sound like very at least authoritarian. You might be like, Taylor B, like that's not really communist right now. I've read about communism. I've been to a class and it's different than that. So to go on. So the new monarchy sort of rise from the ashes of the faction war where they put down the Concordat, which also they did. I think I've said this before. They did that without actually like getting permission to do it. They just fucking did it.
Yeah, that was funky, to say
And I
the
gotta
least.
tell you, this might be a future one of the Biggles. We need a sound effect for this at some point. But future spin foil topic: sympathy for Lysander. I feel like the more we learn about these different factions and the city's government, I feel the more like, well, maybe he should have risen up. I don't know if we can really trust what these guys are telling us about, like the things that they said.
I tried reading into Lysander a little bit, man. He's kind of it's hard to find information out there about
I
him.
feel like the only thing you can really trust is Lysander's cry, which is a letter to you. And that language just sounds like, come and find me, man. I'm out here. But that's just I digress. But they arise from that whole thing before they're picked to join the consensus, and their whole motto is like a tenet that wasn't exactly listed in their core tenets, which is funny that this is on their other card, but it's Together We Will Rise. So it's a very like inclusive I don't know, like almost very like promised landy like type of
Populist is how I would probably phrase it.
There you go. And so the next person you really need to know from the perspective of the guardian of the game, because it's not like we meet other people, like the actual like leaders of this thing, is the New Monarchy faction rep, Executor Hideo. Now, Executor Hideo is like a cool dude who owned a plasteel manufacturing plant downtown, and in the last city, and he was kind of like known beforehand for being like very good at almsgiving. Like he would hand out to people, like do charitable things all the time. Once he becomes a member of New Monarchy, he signs his plasteel manufacturing plant over to New Monarchy. And since he done that, he has been like had to be a lot quieter, and you don't know if it's because it's on the hush or because like he doesn't actually know anymore. He doesn't really like he can't really like talk for one reason or another about his business or like where his money's going. And so as one of like the public faces of New Monarchy, he's like actually like I think at that rate, like the way like he shut up about his own life, it sounds like he's probably got a lot of zeal for the cause. As it was explained to him, he sounds like he like is a true believer and he's willing to do whatever for them.
It does seem that way.
So, let's get down to brass tacks about this theory. The basic idea is that this faction is going in to persons such as Faction Rep Hideo. They're seizing their property. That belongs to them now. They're putting down other factions in the city that are rising up against like the Vanguard or the government for honestly, like what we've been told could arguably be considered, especially with like the things we found out about the speaker in the last couple seasons and in the comics and what have you, could just all be propaganda. At least like I think there's an argument for it, whether or not you choose to believe the other way around. And so they suppress, even by their own tenets, they dissuade and suppress anyone who doesn't fall in line. They are a populist state, and they want to install a singular ruler of unimpeachable character. So when people say New Monarchy is communist, I think if you choose to look away from the sort of like textbook on paper way it was written version of communism, and look a little more toward what was a very classic communist government in our own, and specific leader in our own history, you sort of start to see some similarities between the new monarchy's way of doing things and Stalin's sort of bastardization of communism, like his vision of like what he called Marxist-Leninism. Which is basically you, what his government ended up being. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
there's a reason it's called Stalinism. It is distinct from Marxist Leninism in the fact that basically Stalin he became a cult of personality, and he basically just took everything that communism was supposed to be about. That is that there is no basically, everything is owned by the community of people, and the products of that community are owned by the community as well. That differs from Stalinism, where the state owned the means of production, and the state owned the products of that production
Well,
as a result.
that's why it's prefaced, I guess, as like Stalin's vision or version of Marxist-Leninism, because that's right after you assume control of government, the government really started to shift. That's one of his political talking points, is he called it Marxist-Leninism, very early on, but it's like his version of Marxist-Leninism, and like he doesn't even adhere to all the stuff he talks about. But like the point that I guess like that's sort of like me splitting hairs. But the point is like that's sort of what New Monarchy is pitching. Like who knows what is actually going on?
Which
That's
is
what they're like coming to you with.
it's a pretty scary thought when
That's
you
what I'm
think
saying. Yeah, they are
about
starting the conversation with that. They didn't
Yeah.
even have like the other parts of like, oh yeah, like no, this communism thing, this doesn't sound so bad. Like everyone's important, so we all should be treated well. Like no, it's none of that. It's none of that. It's oh, you better stay in line. Okay, I told you. Like whack.
It's like they started with the end product of Soviet Russia and just like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Dude, right? So
That can't
this is very scary, and like that's the basis of the theory. That's where it's coming from. So like I guess maybe some verbiage could be moved around to what like the end product ends up being, but like they're leading with Stalinism or Stalin's version of a vision of a Marxist-Leninism, and like who knows what's actually going on in the background? Like we have no idea about really any faction's leadership. Like not a one.
And the seven tenets, the thing is, you can interpret this as propaganda. Like, this is their intent with this is to put out a populist message in order to gain members with these tenets. So my view is that they actually put this out here, and they don't actually have any intent to transfer power to a single person, because they have failed in finding anybody thus far. Either that, or they have been searching for so long, and they've kind of given up on that concept.
We don't know, like, again, so we're sort of coming at this disabled. Like, we know the origins of, you know, the Stalin's vision of Marxist Leninism, or like actual communism. Like, we know at least a history of that, right? Like, there's a story we can read about it. We don't know that about New Monarchy. We just, right. Like, the earliest thing we have about, like, that is, like, them either being mentioned offhand in some, like, comics, I think it was. I'm looking over at my bookshelf now. I think that was the comics. Or, things of that nature. Like, we don't know, like, what their origins are, how they were founded, like, who was the first person to come up with these tenets, like, any of that. So, like, honestly, like, especially with what they're, again, like, especially with what they're leading with, I feel like I really worry about what they would actually do.
If they actually gained that power, how would they wield it?
Oh God, it was so funny. I don't know if this was an actual quote of Karl Marx, but Karl Marx is in one of the Assassin's Creeds, and I think it was before this, at least this card was released, but one of his character's lines is communism by way of democracy. And okay. it's like New Monarchy by way of consensus. Like, it's,
And I guess if you take the view that, I'll say this about, New Monarchy and, communism in general, particularly of the Soviet model. Basically, the communism is the end goal. To get there, typically the view is you have to go through socialism first, which socialism is typically viewed as a state-run version of capitalism, where the state owns the property, similarly to Stalinism.
Well, is this just like a conversion from capitalism to socialism? Like, what if that's how your society developed?
So,
you're talking more literal, right?
I am.
Okay. Sorry about that then.
No. So basically, if we're to take these tenets at face value, and their end goal is to end up at some sort of communism, then eventually this would just be a transitionary point for them. Now, that's I find it hard to believe that they would put this out there as their face value for if they intended to end up at communism at some point, in the actual definition of communism, that being the community owns all the property and the end result of that property. But it just doesn't seem to add up that they would put this out there and not want us to and end up at some place that would end up more benevolent than this, is what I'm trying to say.
I can see that. Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. That's kind of easy. So what's your overall thought on the how do you think this this theory hangs the bagels, communism aside? Do you think? I mean, you know, from the little thing. Do you think that's where they're going with it, or do you think like close but no cigar, or maybe not at all?
Well, I don't even know that this is necessarily Stalin's version of communism, because a lot of these tenets, they don't really mention the collection of property. they're all about the social aspects more so.
Though
than...
they do demonstrably take property.
What are you referring to?
Hideo. They took his Plasteel manufacturing plant.
Sure. That is the probably the best example of them following a socialism / communism type aspect right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to reconcile the rest of their tenets with socialism, and most of them just don't even mention the thought of property, which is the focus of communism in most definitions. It's the focus that we need to move the property from the ownership of the burgois to the ownership of the people or of government in the case of socialism. And so that's the only part that I tend to disagree with as them being communist, and at least in their mantra, their propaganda, what they put out. I'm not saying that they aren't necessarily socialists or communists. I just hesitate to outright say that because their message is mostly just about populism instead of the actual property transfer aspects of socialism.
I gotta tell you, the Bagels, you shut down a mean spinfoil, brother.
It's not my intent to just shut the theory
dude,
down.
Dude, that is 100% what we're here for. Like, you shut up. Like, why else are we here? Like, you do your thing. So that being said, if you were to go, like, let's say to the extreme on it, like set it to 11, what do you think they would have to do for the theory to fit? Bonus question. What do you actually think of them?
Fair enough. For the theory to fit, I think their tenets would have to be modified to include transfer of property. Without it, it's mostly just a message that they want to provide. I mean, this message could basically be their tenets as they're written. They could basically be about capital, if you read them right. It can go either way. It can be about socialism, be about capitalism. It's mostly focusing on basically getting all their power into a single person, and then demonstrating their power. As previously mentioned, due to these tenets, I am extremely fearful of whatever their ultimate goal, if it were fulfilled, what would happen. Basically, they would end up, their tenets say it right there, that they would basically shut down any opposition to them. In that sense of Stalinism, it is frightening. Because Stalin shut down opponents with frightening accuracy and just...
Honestly, maybe the Vex are the real Stalin, because they both erase people from history.
That's fair.
Like, maybe we had this all wrong coming into it. Maybe that can be... Oh, let's put that on a t-shirt. Some, like, some kind of weird-ass, like, Star Wars font. Like, the Vex are the real Stalin. Like, I would wear it. That's all I'm saying.
I went to a Vex concentration camp and all I got was a t-shirt.
Ooh, two on the nose. And I do kind of want to offer, I feel like the seven core tenets aren't necessarily all the tenet, because we are aware of eight. Together We Will Rise is also like billed as a tenet of theirs.
And that's fair too. And again, I must stress that we kind of lack information on New Monarchy as far as any additional background information, how they're formed, like you were saying earlier. Mm-hmm. So we really don't know their origins as to what their economic beliefs are. It's just going on the current information. We just have Hideo basically putting his factory into the hands of their organization as the only sign.
And having to shut up about his money.
Yeah. I kind of grouped that together just because Hideo obviously is very, he appears very passionate in his support of New Monarchy.
It's sad he's still not allowed to give lavish gifts to the children and the elderly, though.
Right?
I bet there's, like, some, like, teenagers and adults who are just like, nah, dude, you don't even understand. He used to give us all this cool shit. But he stopped.
So I'll bat it back to you. What's your final verdict?
I think it has a strong plausibility. I think that you make very strong points about not all the pieces being there, but I think there is enough wiggle room to where more pieces can be added if that needs to be fleshed out. But I think at least on its face, like, and again, like, how fucking scary is it that they're leading with that?
I know.
They are leading with those tenets.
It's funny that anybody joins. I guess if anybody has good enough guns to.
Dude, this is ridiculous to me. Like, there are other factions who might be very reasonable people who are less popular than these guys in the last city. Like,
scary,
right? If people want to say, that's why I love that argument. Like, when you talk about, like, did the traveler, like, stand and fight, like the little, like, propaganda message you get in a couple different, like, the opening of D2. Like, you remember that? Oh, he chose to, like, stand and fight with us. Like, dude, we are demonstrably, like, still pieces of shit. Like, in the last city. I'm so sorry, anyone who loves New Monarchy. Like, please don't believe me if that's who you are. Like, believe in them. Like, enjoy your game. Like, I'm sorry, but, like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, no, I think it's time for us to do our final countdown here. What do you think as your final verdict there, the Bagels? What do you rank this?
I am kind of neutral. I do believe that it's possible that their end goal is socialism, communism, however you want to phrase it, Stalinism, basically. Mm-hmm. There's just doesn't seem to be enough supporting information that they are definitely socialists or communists.
Final score.
I'd give it about a 3. Yeah.
About a 3? Three yeah. Plausible?
Three on the plausible scale.
Three plausible. I'm gonna give it 27 plausible. Then together, we gave it 30, because I like round numbers. No, I think there's more there. I think the stuff that's missing could easily be supplemented if there were storylines that were continued with the faction. And it's just because it's not there doesn't mean it's not going to be there.
Sure.
And so I think there's more that says yes than no.
Sure. And that's fair. The only piece of evidence that we have either way on the economic portion of it is Hideo basically giving up his factory to the organization.
And then it'd be one thing if he just did that, but he can't even talk about it. Like, they don't even have a story prepared. Like, he's asking him, like, no. Just stop it. I can't. I won't. I don't talk about that anymore. All right. Okay, do you have any shout-outs, my good sir?
Yeah, I want to do a shout out to Miss Neach, buddy from clan stuff and whatnot. He called me out on the ways of old with Bahanan, and there is a mission in D1 that I forgot about. It's the Paradox mission, where Praedith does call out that Bahanan and Kabir were both with him on the original Vault of Glass expedition, which failed, and only Bahanan escaped. I had forgotten about that quote, and therefore I am correcting the entry on that. So there
Boom.
We go.
Look at us being accountable. I'm here for that. I am here for that. I also will shout out to Milznich. That's how I assume it's pronounced till I hear him say it. Milznich. But, yeah, man, that was some good call. I always like how you have some thoughts for us after each episode. Like, definitely hope you're Still listening. That's a lot of fun. I want to give a shout out to the Lore Network, who and the Focus Fire Chat, maybe specifically Blue Crew 86 and Green Eyed Music Lover. Thank you guys so much for the shout out and the plug on your episode this week. Really hit us in the feels. Got a lot more listeners who I think might not have heard us otherwise. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And as always, you can find us on Spotify, on iTunes, on Podbean, on Twitter, on email. So we're kind of like we got our hands in a lot of different ways that you can reach out to us. So, we hope you do. We hope you enjoy the show. Other than that, bye-bye.
Bye.